The problem is that whatever the mind is, it's suffering. And it's creating a suffering. And we want to train it so it doesn't do that anymore. And then once it's trained, you can go home.
So again, we come back to who is you going home.
Yeah. And you say, if you're really happy, you don't care. You're just happy. Yeah. No.
There is something.
There's something.
The observer.
Mm-hmm.
He sees everything, and then emotions, mind, thoughts, experiences are all something different than.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having a hard time with being the observer while being in a body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can decide.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you decide that you want to put an end to suffering, this is how you train the mind. Now, the difficulty in this is a lot of these questions come from our habit of seeing things in terms of becoming. Who am I? What's the world I'm inhabiting? That's a becoming kind of question. And the Buddha says, okay, the Buddha would humor you up to a point. And then he said, okay, can you learn not to think in those terms? And the best way to learn not to think in those terms is look at things as, this is what the Four Noble Truths are about, is to get you out of that becoming framework and into another framework, which is, there is suffering, there's something that's an activity that's causing suffering, there are activities you can develop so that you can put an end to that suffering. And so you focus on mastering those activities as a skill. And in the course of that, you find that your sense of who you are, one, is going to change. Your sense of what happiness is going to change. And eventually you get to the point where you can start dismantling this who you think you are. And then what's left is, he calls it a deathless element, he calls it a deathless dimension. And that's the closest he gets to defining what it is. But a lot of our problem is that we're so used to thinking in terms of becoming. Here's my desire. Who am I that I can attain that desire? What's the world I inhabit? Is that desire something I can gain in this world? Okay, well, those are becoming kinds of questions. And as long as you keep pursuing those questions, you're going to keep going back and back and back and back and back. And you know how reliable your desires are, right? You say, I don't know if I want these to be leading me around by the nose. Now in Thailand, that's a pretty harsh image, because what they lead around by the nose is water buffaloes. And water buffaloes are known to be the dumbest animals. So do I want to be led around by the nose by my desires, or do I decide, I want to get out of this? So this is why when you start asking questions about what is it, and that up to a point the Buddha will humor you, but up to a point he says, okay, enough, I'm telling you enough, so you know this is really worthwhile. Now you have to start taking that line of thinking apart and look at things in another way so you can get out of this problem of the suffering that the mind keeps creating.
One more question. Mm-hmm. The mind is it collective?
Another one he doesn't answer. But you can't get anyone else to do your work for you. No. My teacher was told one time, this was a John Suwat, first time he taught a group of Westerners at IMS, the one time he taught a group of Westerners at IMS, there was this salesman there who was his first retreat. He said, after a couple of days, he said, you know, you guys would have a good religion here with Buddhism if you had a god. Because then you'd have, you know, realize when things get really difficult, there's somebody you can fall back on. You know? And John Swat said, if there were a God who decreed that when I eat a mouthful of food, everyone else in the world gets full, I would bow down to that God. End of discussion. Okay. Anything else? Okay, we've got some time here to go over breath meditation, which is the next topic. The reason I put this in here is because when you look at the steps of breath meditation, you realize the Buddha is teaching you how to develop insight and tranquility at the same time. On the one time, at the one hand, you are looking at things in terms of fabrication, bodily fabrication, verbal, mental fabrication. At the same time, once you are sensitive to these levels of fabrication, you try to calm them down. That's the skill that's involved. So it's insight in tandem with tranquility. So let's look at the steps. First, he talks about breath meditation in 16 steps, which are divided into four sets of four that are called tetrads. Okay, there's a case where going to the wilderness, to the shade of a tree, empty dwelling. You sit down, folding your legs crosswise, holding your body erect, setting mindfulness to the four. Always mindful you breathe in, mindful you breathe out. That phrase, setting mindfulness to the four, the Pali term is bhardi mukhang, which if you translate it in terms of the roots of the words, it means around your face or around your mouth. However, this is one of those cases like conscience and passion or terrible, where if you take the word in terms of its etymology, you get the wrong meaning. There's one spot where the Buddha talks about the bhardi mukhang in the monks' rules, and monks are not allowed to shave their bhardi mukhang. Now, you have to shave your face. So basically what the passage is saying, you can't shave your chest. So bhardi mukhang can also mean chest. And so I think what it's getting at is, and there's another passage where the monk is not focusing on the breath, he's just bringing mindfulness to the fore. In other words, you're bringing it, you're making it stand out. You're making it the prominent quality in your awareness. So you don't have to be focused around your mouth or your chest. Always mindful you breathe in, mindful you breathe out. And these are where the tetrads begin. The first two steps are simply discerning distinctions in the breath. Breathing in long, you discern I'm breathing in long, or breathing out long, you discern I'm breathing out long. Same with breathing in short. And you can expand that to be heavy, light, fast, slow, whatever. You learn how to discern distinctions in the breath. With the remaining steps, you train yourself. In other words, you are setting up a purpose and a goal for that particular step in the practice. You're training yourself in a skill. The first one is, I will breathe in sensitive to the entire body. I will breathe out sensitive to the entire body. That was the step that we're working on with the guided meditations, getting you to a full body awareness. And then the fourth step, you train yourself, I will breathe in calming bodily fabrication. I will breathe out calming bodily fabrication. Now, bodily fabrication here is the in and out breath. So you're trying to calm the breath down. You see how the breath, first to see it as a bodily fabrication, to see the impact that it has on your body. The way you breathe can have an effect on the different processes, heartbeat, the way you sense the body, that kind of thing. And then you breathe in whatever way will calm that down. That's the first tetrad, which deals with body. Second tetrad looks at the breathing process in a different way, looks at it as it relates to feelings. Okay, you train yourself, I will breathe in sensitive to rapture. You train yourself, I will breathe out sensitive to rapture. You say, where is the rapture to be sensitive to? The rapture comes from finding spots in the body where there's a sense of fullness, a sense of, you know, the energy feels good in some spots of the body, and allowing it to stay that way, all the way through the in-breath, all the way through the out. And then once you're able to maintain that sense of fullness, it might be in the backs of your hands, palms of your hands, middle of the chest, wherever you have that sense of fullness to begin with, then you allow it to spread. So you're sensitive to, okay, where is there a sense of rapture, or another way of translating that would be refreshment. And then you train yourself, I will breathe in sensitive to pleasure, I will breathe out sensitive to pleasure. They say, okay, what's the difference? Because sometimes rapture can be very pleasant, but other times it can be decidedly unpleasant. And when it's unpleasant, you have a sense of it's just too much. You're too full. I think I mentioned the other day that some people either don't like rapture because, one, they have a feeling they're losing control, or two, they've had near-drowning experiences. And there's a very close similarity, that sense of fullness that comes up in the chest and in the rest of the body. So when the rapture gets unpleasant, you say, okay, where is a more refined pleasure here, so I can just kind of go under the radar and not be overwhelmed by the rapture. So that would be step number 6. Step number 7 is you breathe in sensitive to mental fabrication, breathe out sensitive to mental fabrication. Now, as I said yesterday, mental fabrication here is perception and feeling. And what you're sensitive here to is the fact that your perceptions and your feelings have an impact on your mind. And you're trying to feel, okay, what this perception I'm holding in mind right now, what kind of impact is it having on the mind? And the way you learn that, of course, is to change your perceptions and see what happens to the mind as a result. So you're trying to see how these feelings and perceptions have an impact on the mind. And with number 8, you train yourself, I will breathe in calming mental fabrication, I will breathe out calming mental fabrication. So whatever, you look for perceptions and feelings that calm the mind down. Give you an example, just a perception around the breath. You have the feeling that all the breath in the world that's going to come into my body has to come in through my nose, and my nose is clogged. That creates a lot of irritation and discomfort. If you think, okay, there are pores throughout my skin, my body is like a sponge, it really does change the way you relate to the breath. And you find that there is still an energy flow. Even though your nose is clogged, you can still get an energy flow going. And that's more refreshing, and that's more calming. Even if your nose is not clogged, it's more calming. So those are the 4 steps that have to do with feelings. We can stop right here for a second. Any questions on those first 8 steps? Yes.
Sorry, what was the other word for rapture?
Refreshment. Yes.
I'm a little confused about mental fabrication here.
Okay, mental fabrication. We're talking about what are the 2 things that shape your mind more than anything else, or the state of your mind more than anything else. And the first are the perceptions you hold in mind, and the other things are the feelings that you're feeling.
So is that like my mood?
Your mood is made of perceptions and feelings. And one of the ways you can change your mood is, okay, ask yourself, what's the perception I'm holding in mind? Say you're feeling depressed. Okay, what is the perception you're holding? Right, what's underneath it, what's feeding it, yeah.
So if I believe something, that my life is pointless, that's
it's going to be very depressing, yes.
that
you look at, yeah.
That's the mental fabrication.
Right.
So the perception is my life is pointless, and the feeling is depression.
Right. Okay. And the feeling here would, let's back up again, the emotion is the depression. The feeling is the discomfort that comes with that perception.
How I feel that in my mind.
You feel it in your body, you feel it in your mind.
Both.
Mm-hmm. And so say you've got a depression. Well, let's work with the underlying perception. I'll give you an example from my family. My father, after my mother died, my father remarried. And it was a pretty bad marriage. And he got very depressed. And I was talking with him, so I came back from Thailand, was talking with him, and finally he came to the realization that they'd been carrying around the perception that, you know, if the marriage hadn't worked, it was his fault. And it was obviously not working very well. But once he was able to let go of that perception, that was the end of the depression.
So these perceptions, one might not uncover them in one meditation sitting.
No. Okay, some are quicker than others, let's put it that way.
Okay. Fabrications.
They're fabrications, yeah. And these are the things that, and this is what's good to look into. When you're looking into any mood that you don't like, look into those 3 types of fabrication. Okay, 1, how am I breathing right now? 2, how am I talking to myself about this? And then 3, what are the underlying perceptions and feelings? And if you and to kind of dismantle it that way, then it becomes less of my mood, and these are just fabrications that are coming together to create the mood. Let's change some of the conditions here.
So that dismantling in and of itself is a non. Some
that can take a long time to get out of.
Just unpacking it in the way you suggest might not dissipate.
Not right away. Well, I've been told that a lot of therapists have found that the more their client can get into the body, the more effective the analysis is. And here, it's the same sort of thing. You're working with your breath at the same time. How am I breathing around this feeling that I am unworthy? How about if I change the breath? That thought comes up, but I refuse to let my breath be affected by that thought. And the thought begins to lose some of its grip. Because what it's done, it's hijacked your body. And you have to reclaim your body. Mm-hmm. So something over here. Yes. Mm-hmm. All your reality is shaped by your perception.
Mm-hmm. And I,
now, some things like an iron bar falling on your head is not.
I know that for us Westerners, it's a very unsettling idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't diminish its truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The fact that it allows us, I think, allows us access to freedom.
Yeah. Because as I was saying earlier, it's this combination between past karma and present karma. You can't change your past karma. If you've got the past karma, then an iron bar is going to come down and hit your head. No matter how you perceive it, it's still going to be an iron bar hitting your head. Okay, but you can decide whether you're going to suffer over that or not. Yes?
So related to karma, you're saying this iron bar is going to come and hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about that?
Nope. But you got to be prepared. Because I don't know about you, but I've realized that I probably did a lot of really nasty things in the past. So who knows? Yes.
So when I will breathe in calming mental fabrication,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's the breathing in and breathing out. Well, you'll find sometimes that there are certain thoughts you can think with an in-breath and you forget them with the out-breath. And this time you're going to remember all the way through the in-breath, all the way through the out-breath, I'm going to maintain this new perception. The perception is more calming. So it becomes, it's not just little phrases in a musical phrase, in a musical tune. It's the whole thing going right through, that you learn how to hold this new perception regardless of whether you're breathing in or breathing out. It gives it more continuity. Calming mental fabrication. Okay, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, I've been sitting here in pain for the last hour and we're going to have to sit here for another half hour and I think I'm going to lose my mind. And you say, wait a minute, the pain for the past half hour is gone. The pain for the next half hour is not here yet. I've just got this one moment of pain. And that's a lot easier to take. And then just hold that perception in your mind. Your mind calms down. That's an example. Yes?
Ajahn, if you have feelings of well-being outside of meditation,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the first thing I would do is ask, now that I've got this feeling of well-being, how am I breathing? What does the breath energy feel like in the body? Can I maintain that? And then as you're walking along or whatever, can I maintain that kind of quality of breath energy regardless of what the outside circumstances are? And you realize it's not just long in or short out or whatever. There's the quality of the energy throughout the body has kind of a tone to it. And you will learn if you maintain that whole tone. And then you find, whoops, I lost it. What can I get it back? And sometimes you can access it again, and you get better and better at that. And you also begin to notice, okay, what are the things that made me lose it? And that's one way that you can kind of carry your concentration through the day. Question here?
Why is the breath considered meditation?
Because there's an intentional element in the way you breathe? Well, it's going to, on some level, there's going to be the intention to breathe. It's a conscious or unconscious level. There is an intentional element in the fact that you're breathing. And so what we're trying to do is get into the mechanism by which you are choosing how to breathe, when you decide to breathe in, when you decide to breathe out, and see if we can learn how to adjust it so it creates a more consistent sense of well-being. Because it's one of the few bodily processes that you can actually control.